For those that's already sit down, you can stand back up and reverence the reading of God's Word if you will. If you can't stand, I surely understand that as well. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews this morning. If you'll turn to the book of Hebrews, we'll be right there where we're going to be with the Lord's help today. As Brother Steve said, since we're not having service this evening, if you will just take some time maybe with your family, have some private devotion time, just some family time, spend some time in prayer. And do pray for those that's been in harm's way down east. There's many of them that evacuated and they moved out of the way, but I think the last count's maybe between 7 and 10 that have lost their life as a result of the storm. You know, we don't take these things lightly when they happen, but we know who can calm the storm. We know who directs the storms. So anyway, we'll not be having service here this evening. No choir practice, and we've canceled the evening. The youth choir was supposed to sing with Brother Chris preaching this evening over at Avante, but that too has been canceled. So if just go home today and batten down the hatches and wait for any further instruction. We should have, you've got a whole list of things on here that's going to be coming up. One thing that I wanted to ask about the Joy Senior is that it says be meeting at Two Rivers at 9:30. That doesn't say a.m. or p.m. A.m.? Okay. So don't use that as an excuse to go and not paint Ann's house, because that's happened at the same time. There's three events on that date, I think. So the Bible journaling for beginners is at the same time, and then painting Miss Ann's house, and then also the movie. So one place or another, you can find a place to get in. If you found your place in the book of Hebrews, now back up one page. I told you to do that because if I told you to find the little book of Philemon, a lot of you still be rustling your pages. It's easier to find Hebrews. It's a big book. Philemon just got the one chapter in it. But I want to preach a message this morning with the Lord as my helper about four hearts knit together as one. Now this month and then next month, we're going to have two weddings here at the church. And a lot of times they'll do the Unity Sands or they'll do the Unity Candle. There's something we've seen as of late, the Unity Cord, where a three-chord strand can't be easily broken and taken from the book of Ecclesiastes. And that's always representative of the bride, the groom, and then the third person, which is unseen, would be the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in the book of Philemon today. You'll see the fourth person is still yet again Jesus Christ. But there's three main characters here that we're going to talk about and look at. And I want you to find your place within this little passage of Scripture today. Either one that has just totally run away. I mean, you've just abandoned. You're an absconder from God, and you just run away from that. And maybe you're the one that's supposed to be an effective witness to somebody that is running. Or maybe you're the one that's just supposed to just sit back and then grant and offer forgiveness to the one that's wronged. The number one thing that I feel in my heart, and I'm probably none different than y'all, whenever somebody wrongs me, the first thing I want to do is do what? 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 Chris, don't wrong Chris. Just don't wrong. He said, I'm just being real up here, being honest. The first thing we want to do is get them back. Well, if you'll read the scripture, we're talking about Philemon, a slave owner, an honorable man, a saved man, a Christian man. And we preached a message along these same lines a little while back about it, put that on mine account. We're going to look at it a little different today with the Lord's help. But the other being the runaway slave, Onesimus. And then the third being Paul, and then the fourth being the Lord Jesus Christ. I hate to have you stand for such a lengthy time, but it's probably the only exercise some of you are going to get this week. So we're going to read all 25 verses. There's only one chapter. We're going to read it all. Starting at verse number 1, the Bible says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such in one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me. And how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore as a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Brother Chris. Amen. Amen. We've already determined that when someone wrongs you, the first thing that you want to do is what? Get even. Get them back. What's the first thing that happens when somebody apologizes to you? Somebody just spit it out. If you're one that can be called on, I don't care if you're a visitor or one of us. Anybody want to answer that? What's one of the first things when somebody comes to you with an I'm sorry? What's that? To say it's okay, to say I love you. I'm glad y'all are that way. I'm different than y'all then. You want to know if it's real. And you watch that person for just a little while. It may be a period of a week. It could be a month. It could be that you're trying to find out if their actions speak louder than their words. Because if they come to you and say, I'm sorry, but then nothing ever changes in their attitude, in their heart, in their mannerisms, in their action towards you, didn't they really mean what they said? They did what was necessary. They spoke the words of apology to you. And for that, they've done according to even the Bible, what the Bible says, that if anybody wrongs you, go to them. Make these things right. But I'm one of those that when somebody actually wrongs me, I'm just like you, Brother Chris. I want to get even. But the Bible says vengeance belongs to the Lord. That's not ours. But then also, whenever someone comes to me with an apology, I'm wanting to know the sincerity of the apology. And how can I prove that their apology is sincere other than just watching their actions and mannerisms? But don't we all kind of have that same way? Don't we all kind of feel this? I mean, in a sense, y'all, Brother Gary, you're ready to forgive and not even look back. Don't think anything about it. You took them at face value. They said they're sorry. You said, okay, now let's go out and go fishing together. Everybody might be that way, but I'm not. And I want you to see in the scripture today that it's important for you to see the fourth person in this passage of scripture. And for those, I didn't even, Brother J.D. and Miss Waylene, I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I wasn't expecting to see y'all this morning. It's bad. There's a hurricane coming and there's raining and storming. But I commend y'all. I commend people like y'all that have such a devotion in your heart to come out to the Lord's house, and the visitors that are here. If you count yourself a visitor, I thank you for filling up the empty holes, because we're down at least 50. I'd say probably closer to 60 people today than what we normally have. But our visitors, you are welcome here. And I pray somebody's already shook your hands and made you feel welcome, because truly you're in the Lord's house. Last Sunday upon the mountain, I preached a message about an unbroken love from a broken heart. And I've got to hit just a little bit of that as I lead into today's message. I used up there on the mountain last week the story of how that Hosea was told by God Almighty to go and to find himself, to buy himself, to pick himself a wife who would not be faithful to him. She was not going to love him. She would not be faithful to him. She would cheat on him. There would be, if you will, a spiritual adultery, but in his case, an actual adultery, in that she would follow strange loves. And in that message up there about an unbroken love from a broken heart, it was namely the unbroken love is that timeless, unending, undying, heaven-sent love of Almighty God. It's the agape love of Christ. I mean, he loves us unconditionally. There's nothing that B.J. Ford could do to make God love him any less. And that's the kind of love I'm preaching about right now. And he is found in this story of the book of Philemon. And I want you to understand, Brother Chris, God loves you with that unbroken love. But my friends, how many times have we broken his heart? When we break his heart, it's because we have broken his law. We've broken his commandment. We've broken his trust. We've done something within ourselves. According to the book of Romans in chapter number 7, Paul had trouble with that. So if you live better than the Apostle Paul did, maybe you have arrived. But brother, I've not yet arrived yet. I'm just like Paul. The good that I would do, I don't. That I shouldn't do, I do. And Brother Kenny, I'm in a mess. A lot of times I'm just a downright mess. But I'm glad that Brother Tam, there's nothing that I could do that could break his love toward me. Oh, but it sure does break his heart. And I'm wondering right now in this passage of Scripture, the fourth man that we don't see is the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you today one that have maybe been his bondman? Maybe you've been sold into the grace of God and you've loved him with the love of a man that loved God as one as Miss Marlene testified. Miss Marlene, you love him. You say you don't care what people say about you. You love him. Well, if people can say anything or do anything, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think you're a nut. Now, you don't think anything different about me? If y'all think she's a nut too, say amen. See, now you got everybody. No, seriously, God loves you with an undying love and you love him. But how many of us have maybe been his bondmen? By the time we've been bond by the love that God, I mean, you're saved by God's grace. Right there's where it happened. And bless God, you have took what was God's and you have took that and then you run away. Maybe you went to a far land. Maybe you're like the prodigal. You left the love. You took the goods. You took what belonged to God and then you took it and you wasted it. Well, here in this account, Philemon is a slave owner. He's got a vast estate, no doubt. He's probably got many slaves. He's got a lot of people that that's accountable unto him, and he's accountable unto them. I believe with him being a brother in Christ and him being a Christian man, I believe he was good to those slaves. It was common that they would have slaves in those days, but I believe that he was good to his men, and I believe he was good to those that served him. But we had a vagabond. We had a runaway. We had one that decided that he was just going to flee the scene and go out. And my friends, in this story, you're in here somewhere. I promise you this. You're in this story somewhere. It could be that you have took the love of God. You took his mercy. You took what belongs to God. Listen, salvation is of the Lord, my friends. David said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of what? Thy salvation, because salvation is of the Lord. But maybe it is, Brother Joe, that you took the salvation and then you took it and you wandered away somewhere. Well, let me tell you, God's got a Paul somewhere. God's got a preacher somewhere. God's got a pastor somewhere. God's got an accountable friend unto you. You're accountable unto him and he unto you. And he's going to hold you accountable for that. And whenever you meet him, whether it be in a Roman jail or whether it be on the street at Walmart in town, brother, you're accountable unto him. And bless God, iron sharpeneth iron. And if he can help me or I can help him, bless God, we ought to do that. And then whenever everything you do, Brother Tim, it ought to point me back to Philemon. It ought to point me back to Jesus. It ought to point you back to the one that made it possible for you to even have what you've got. But so many times, brother, we fall out with somebody. And then rather than getting that thing fixed, we just keep going the other direction. We're not willing to forgive. And whenever the forgiveness is supposed to be granted, we look at the apology with some kind of a curious question in my heart or in my eye. And I say, I don't know if it's real or not. I wonder if I should just go ahead and fix what was wrong to start with. Maybe I'll just lay him out. No, you shouldn't lay him out. You go ahead and accept his apology. You let that apology theology be between him and God, if it's real or not. And let, Brother John, let God work the rest of it out. I want to go back to the scriptures here very quickly. First and foremost this morning, it's the one that I'm going to preach about first, is the fourth man, the one that we don't see, the one that made the tapestry, the one that painted this picture, the one that I'm talking about, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in this story, and the Lord Jesus Christ's name is even mentioned and evoked several different times. And I want to show you something here. Paul starts out this little letter with grace. Look what it says in verse number 3. It says, grace to you and peace. And how does he end that thing in verse number 25? He ends it with grace. This church will evolve in love only because we have God's grace upon us. If you'll take your Bible and you'll start back over in the book of Romans, if you want to do it, you can. I'm going to do it just for the sake of God told me to do it just now. I don't know why I did it, but we're going to preach just a little bit on grace. If you were to go to Romans in chapter number 16, and then you were to try to conclude the book of Romans, look what he says in verse number 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And then the very next chapter, very next book of the Bible is 1 Corinthians. We go to the end of 1 Corinthians and look how he ends that. He said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. So there again, he evokes grace to the people. And then we go right on to 2 Corinthians. He concludes the book of 2 Corinthians. In chapter number 13, verse number 14, he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the community of the Holy Ghost be with you all. He goes to the book of Galatians. If you'll go to the book of Galatians and you'll go to chapter number 6, and then you'll read verse number down through 14 through the end. It starts out in verse number 18, and it says, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We go to the book of Ephesians, another one of the prison epistles. He ends 24 in chapter number 6, verse number 24. With these words, grace be with you all. And you say, what are you getting at, preacher? Go over to the book of Philippians. He ends in 23 of the fourth chapter. He said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. We walk right into Colossians, and how does he finish that thing? He said, I want to finish this thing the same way I started all the rest of them and ended all the rest of them. It's all about grace. And bless God, if Epaphras and Epaphroditus and Archippus and all these, Apphia and all these others are going to learn anything off the Apostle Paul, he's going to learn about grace, Brother Tam. If you're going to learn anything about me, I hope you'll look at it and learn through grace. You're going to look at me and you're going to say, is he really what he says he is? Is that pastor really preaching? And does he live what he says he does? Brother John, I come up way short, but bless God, I'm not what I'm going to be, but bless God, I'm not what I used to be. And the only thing I have to claim is the blood of Jesus Christ and his grace. That's the only thing I have to, that's all I've got to claim is the grace of God. If you want to ask about me and find out any problems, any character traits and flaws that are just totally messed up, ask Miss Cindy. I think she would know them if anybody does. Being married to me for almost 32 years, she's seen everything I've got to offer, the good, the bad, the ugly. She's seen it all. But I thank God that grace has been applied. I thank God for grace. And as we started out the book of Philemon, it starts out about grace. And it's going to end in grace. Every single one of us would do ourselves a good job to be so inclined to that grace. You couldn't have anything else except for that be for grace. And that grace comes through and by that fourth man that you can't see. It took a sin-free Jesus to make it possible for this runaway slave Onesimus to go back. But he used a man by the name of Paul to tell Onesimus about that. How many of you, if you got away with it, are going to come clean with it? Y'all ever hear about somebody later in life, maybe they had done some crime earlier in their lives, and I'm talking about, it could have been murder. There's murderers that come forth later in life, and all of a sudden they just spill the beans, Brother Tam. Some of them call it jailhouse religion and everything else, but brother, they just finally come clean and say, yeah, I want to go ahead and confess. You know what that is, brother? That's grace, because God has shown them that you're getting ready to meet me. Maybe they've languished in life in prison or somewhere else, and Brother Ryan, they've got to get this off their chest, and then they come forward. The only thing they can do then is throw themselves on the leniency and the mercies of the court. Bless God, we're going to stand before God one day. I'd rather stand before him with a mediator and an advocate by the name of Jesus Christ than stand there alone. Let's look into the scriptures really quick. First, I want you to look at Paul. I told you I was going to look at Jesus. I can't say enough good stuff about the Lord Jesus Christ because it took him. There ain't nobody else that Paul could have met. There ain't nobody else that Onesimus could have met that could have changed his life. It took victory, and that victory was nothing more than death, hell, and the grave that was defeated whenever Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, ascended back to heaven, and sent us the Holy Spirit. But Paul was no doubt saved on the Damascus Road. He was obedient to the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everywhere that he went, he was in all kinds of bonds and peril and sickness, and I mean all kinds of beatings and scourgings. And Paul had it going on as far as the things that you and I, Brother Chris, we don't have to do that today. We don't have to resist and strive unto death. They had to let Paul over a wall in a basket. I'm telling you, Paul had to live the life, Brother Chris, that none of us would have to live. How long would you stay in the ministry if people trying to kill you everywhere you went? You don't know. I don't know either. Preacher Kenny, how long you been doing this? 50 years? 40? Oh, I knew it was up there. They're laughing at me. 40 years. If people were trying to kill you every time you stood, every time you went into a community or a town and started preaching the gospel, somebody wanted to kill you, how long would you do that? I don't know how long you would have done it. But Paul's under house arrest up in Rome, and he meets this runaway slave by the name of Onesimus. Not being unlike Peter and John or any of the others that were ever in prison, I'm licking my wounds. I'm not coming out of my cell. I'm not coming out of my house. I'm under house arrest. I'm going to stay in my house, Brother Tam, but no, not Paul. Paul's always looking. And that's what I'm asking us. Are we Paul? Are we always looking for that one, brother, that's been wronged? That one that's run away? That one that might have something to give back to God? That one that is not just the washed up has been of yesteryear, but might have some kind of a redeemable quality? What was your redeemable quality? What did you have to offer God? Brother Tim, I didn't have anything to give him. Bless God. Brother John used this illustration in our Sunday school class one morning. Whenever he said, I believe it was Pastor Dean McNeese or one of the McNeese brother, they put the offering plate out. And what'd they do? They got in the middle of the thing. That's all we've got to give is ourselves. But myself, I have nothing good, Miss Haley, to give back to God except that I would give him myself. But Paul was not just going to hole up somewhere and say, I'm going to wait my beheading. I'm going to wait my demise. No, while he's there, he's looking around. He finds this runaway slave by the name of Onesimus. He talks to Onesimus. No doubt the conversation, brother. Sometimes we read these stories as if they're fictional. We read them as if they really didn't happen, but somewhere in the annals of historical time, there was really a conversation between a man by the name of Paul and a slave that had took the money and no doubt some of the property of his owner named Philemon, and he left Colossae and he's gone up toward Rome, and here he is now and he's met up with Paul. And Paul's like, what's your story? What are you up here for? What are you in here for? Why are you... What's going on? And no doubt they got to talking. And during the course of the conversation, Brother Tam, it might have went something like this. I'm up here under house arrest. And Onesimus could say, What did you do? Did you steal something? Are you a murderer? What have you done? Why are you in here? Why are you under arrest? Why are you awaiting trial? And Paul could have said, well, I was preaching the gospel. I was telling people about this man by the name of Jesus Christ, and I was marked as some kind of an insurrectionist, somebody trying to overthrow the government, trying to elevate this man called Christ over the very name of Caesar. He was in there, brother. He was a political prisoner, but he was one in there, and he was in there for the cause of Christ. And then Paul could have said, what are you in here for? What are you under arrest for? What have you done? Well, I was a slave. Back down in Colossae, I was a slave to a man by the name of Philemon. Really? You knew Philemon? He said, he's my brother. He's my main man. I love Philemon. How, you say you live with him. You work for him. You were under his care. He said, yeah, man, he was good to me. Said, Philemon was so good to me. He wasn't like the other ones. He bought me out of a place that I was being tortured and I was being ridiculed. It was hard living under my old master. But this man by the name of Philemon purchased me. And when he got me, I'm surmising here, Brother John. Just go with me for a minute. Man, he's been good to me. The others were mean to me. And the others just made it hard for us to dwell in their house. Others made it hard for us while we were. But this man Philemon was good to me. He was so good to me. Paul said, then why did you run? He said, I thought I knew better. What did you do? I took of his stuff. I took his stuff and I run off. And now I've wasted and I've got caught up with. Man, it's got some of you just not been caught up with, but yet you're still running. If you're a slave still running, bless God, you need to meet you a Paul somewhere in life and let him get into your court of accountability and hold you responsible for what you've done. Every one of them are going to point you back to Christ. Amen. Every one of them will point you back to the only one that can help you. There's no doubt in my mind, Paul said, Onesimus, let me tell you what happened to me. I've ended up here because of a man by the name of Jesus Christ. Paul, have you ever heard of him? Maybe he had, maybe he hadn't. But Paul the aged started telling this runaway slave by the name of Onesimus about how good God was. How that he had studied under Gamaliel. He was a student of the law. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He kept the letter of the law, brother. He was all about the law. No doubt he took him to a road that led toward Damascus, Brother Tam. And he told him about that encounter that he had. When he saw a light that was brighter than the noonday sun that smote him and drove him to the ground. When he fell off his beast, and then the Lord spoke to him and he said, Who art thou, Lord? And then he asked the next question, What would you have me to do? And he said, I want you to go down to the house of Ananias and you're going to see some things down there. He said, Well, what do you mean I'll see some things down there? I can't even see anything now because God had took his sight. God took his spirit, his physical sight that he might get, Brother Tam, some spiritual sight. No doubt Paul took him down that road and told him about his own conversion. You know, he didn't, Brother Tam, I don't believe for one minute the scripture don't declare, said, look what you did, you scallywag. You've took, Philemon is my buddy. Philemon is my brother in the Lord. And you stole from him? You need to be beheaded. You know the price of a runaway slave. We could scourge you. We could flog you. We could have you crucified. That's what you deserve, you rascal. Philemon's my brother. That's not what he did. He said, let me just tell you. This man that I met by the name of Jesus Christ, he radically changed me, supernaturally changed me. And I've been talking about him and telling everybody about him for some time now. Now, can I just tell you about him a little bit? And Philemon says, Onesimus says, please tell me about him. Where is he at? Where can I find him? They killed him. And no doubt right then, Onesimus said, well, there's no hope for me. If that man that got you out of your pickle and saved you from your sins and delivered you from the life that you once lived, no doubt if he's dead now, there's no hope for this runaway slave. Paul said, yeah, but he didn't stay dead. Amen. He didn't stay dead. Yeah, they crucified him. But on the third day, there was some group of people. He showed himself to Peter and to Mary and to Martha. And he showed himself to about 50 people, Brother John. And then hundreds at one time. And then he went back to the Father in heaven. And bless God, we were out there on the day of Pentecost. And praise God, something happened like never happened before. Bless God, whenever God wants a tabernacle between men and with men in the Old Testament writings of Moses and Aaron and all of those, he doesn't do that anymore, bless God. He took up his abode in my heart by the person of the Holy Spirit, and he lives with me now. Onesimus, I just want to tell you about him.
Amen.
Onesimus probably said, tell me more. Tell me more. You need a Paul in your life. You need somebody to tell you the more of this man by the name of Jesus. What am I going to do, Paul? I did steal. I did wrong. I ran away. What am I going to do? He said, well, in this story so far, I've told you about my testimony. You've told me about your thievery. You've told me about your absconding from Philemon. I've told you about another man by the name of Jesus Christ. And now we've got to introduce somebody else into this picture. He said, what are you talking about? He said, you've got to go back and see Philemon. I don't know the story exactly, Brother Tam, how it might have unfolded, but just a little bit of you, did you not feel in your heart that you've wronged this man? Brother Jerry, you stole from this man. This man now has the authority to have you prisoned. He has the power to have you killed. He could sell you to a mean slave master, taskmaster. In my heart, Onesimus got to have just a little bit of uncertainty. What's going on? But do you realize in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 1, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation unto them which be in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that? Who wrote that book? I just told you where it was at. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 1. Who wrote that book? That was Paul. Where was Paul at when he wrote that? He was in Rome. Where was it? He was in a Roman prison whenever he's meeting Onesimus. No doubt in my mind, he said, let me just tell you this. Listen, Onesimus. There's no condemnation. Brother, we've got the printed word. I believe he got it verbatim, word for word, straight from the man's mouth that wrote it. He said, there's no condemnation unto them. Must God just get saved by God's grace. Trust what I'm telling you is gospel. Trust what I'm telling you is true. And if you do that, when you get back up there, you're not getting the butt kicking. You're going to get, bless God, an embrace for the one that you wronged. And that's the way it is with us. I see him coming back, Brother Tam. I seem a little bit scared, trusting the word of God, trusting the man of God, trusting what he said is true. And I see him coming back up that dusty trail. I see Philemon looking, said, here he comes now. Here he comes. Somebody give me a little piece of paper, Brother Tam. This right here is fine. Philemon is watching for him. He said, here he comes. He's probably run out of food. Probably run out of money. Now listen, Lewis, Philemon was a Christian. Now I told y'all, I asked y'all opening up how you felt when somebody wronged you. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? He said, I'm going to roll them. Good job, Kenny. Roll them out in the door. No doubt, Philemon, the same as you felt, I want to get them back. Same as you felt, you want to repay them. I want to get back. I want to do unto them before they do unto me again. No doubt Philemon, even though he's a Christian, even though he's Paul's brother in Christ, said, here he comes. I wonder what he's wanting now. He's hungry. He's dirty, stinks. Probably spent every last thing he stole off of me. I wonder what that is in his hand. That looks like a piece of papyrus paper. I wonder what he's got for me. And I see old Onesimus coming in. And just for a minute, just be Philemon. Onesimus comes in and says, Master, I got something to give you. I don't know if he started the apology right off the bat or if he said, just read this, because then I want to tell you something. I don't know how that all transpired, but that little book of Philemon that you're holding in your hand, it was on a postcard. It was about like this, on a piece of papyrus paper written out, scrolled out by the hand of Paul, the aged. And he said, Master, I want you to have that. And I want you to read that. It's from somebody I met. Philemon might have said, well, who did you meet? Just before I read this letter, who have you been in company with? Where have you been? He said, well, I ended up in prison, back up in Rome. Oh, you made it that far on that money you stole from me? You must have been frugal with it. Who's this letter? Who is it? What is it? Who's this from? He said, well, I met a man by the name of Paul. I used to call him Saul of Tarsus, and he said he knew you. You met Paul? You met Paul of all the people? You met the Apostle Paul? You met Paul, the aged? He said, bless God, let me have that piece of paper. And he starts reading it. And no doubt in my mind, as he's reading that, I see tears swelling up in Philemon's eyes. I see his heart starting to mold and break toward the Apostle Paul. And then when he gets to that part where it said, if he's wronged you or owes you anything, I can start to see Philemon start to glean something way down from the bowels of his very soul. And he said, Paul is asking me to just lay that back on him. If he owes anything, put it on his account. Bless God, come here, you runaway slave. I just want to hug your neck.
Amen.
Come here, Onesimus. I want to tell you something, son. Since that love that you have found in Jesus is the same love that Paul preached that Jesus into you. That's the same love that I have in my heart. Come here, boy. Give me a hug. That's what happened to every one of us, Brother Tam. That's exactly what happened. Whenever we come crawling back as beggars, stolen the good things of God, stolen of his time, stolen of his treasures and talent, Brother John, here we come begging him back. He says, come here, boy. Let me give you a hug.
Amen.
He said, receive him as myself.
Amen.
There's two verses I want to see before we close today. I want you to go back into Philemon. There's two beautiful verses I want you to see. The Bible says in verse number 13, I'm wanting you to look at 14, whom I would have retained with me, speaking of Onesimus, in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. So I'd have kept, he's telling Philemon, he said, I'd have kept him with me and he could have ministered to me. But it says in verse number 14, but without thy mind, what I do nothing. that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. Listen at 15:4, perhaps he therefore departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever. And listen at 16, not as a servant, but above a servant. Don't just receive him as a servant. This is what Christ is saying about us. Don't just receive Chris as a servant. Don't just receive him as one who will preach, or Brother Kenny who will preach, or Brother Joe who will preach, or Ryan who will serve. Don't just receive him that way. But the Lord Jesus Christ, Miss Cindy, he's saying, don't receive him that way. Receive him as a dear brother. And that's what we said, Brother Chris. He said, we can cry, Abba, Father. Bless God, we can cry out unto him, our daddy. And bless God, we become heirs and joint heirs with him. We are the joint heirs of Jesus. Brother John, look what he said in that 16th verse, not receive him forever, but not as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. You have to admit, I want you to look at this Onesimus character just a minute. What was it that Onesimus had that you had? You had a guilty conscience, for one. I did. Team, when you got saved, God had to break you. He had to convict your heart. He become a needy man. He was a wanted man, a fugitive from justice. Why? Because he was a thief and he had stole from his slave owner. What did he deserve? He deserved what the rest of us deserve. Romans 23 factors in here. The wages of sin is death. What did he deserve? He deserved death just like the rest of us. But he found grace. He could have chose to run. Can you imagine, Brother Tam, you've got a letter, and I don't know the distance. Maybe somebody could Google it and find out how far from Colossae to Rome it was. But it wasn't a minute's journey. It was a trip. He could have took that piece of paper and went. He could have took that letter that we're reading out of right here. He could have took that, Brother Derek, and said, as soon as he rounded the corner, Brother Tam, he could have took that piece of paper and said, I'm not giving that to him. I'm not going back down that way. That means death unto me. If I go back down that way, I'm doomed. If I go that way, I'm doomed. He didn't do that, Brother Derek. You know what that tells me? Brother Tam, he got the goods. He got the goods. When it come time to the good getting, he got the goods, brother. Because when he walked right back to Philemon, he said, I'll take it. He said, I might be free from my choice, but I'm not guilty from the choice, the consequences of my choice. I got to go back and face the music. He goes right back, hands that letter to Philemon. Philemon with a broken heart reads it, hugs his neck. And the rest of the story is I'm preaching it here today. Miss Macy, would you come over to the piano just now? Brother Scott, would you get us a song of invitation? I've told you a story of four hearts. Somebody find me the definition of knit really quickly. Somebody that's really quick on your Google. Somebody real quick on your Merriam-Webster app on your phone. I'll tell you what it means soon somebody finds it. Brother Steve, I thought you kept your phone in your mower or something. What does the word knit mean? It means to cause to come together. When I preached a message this morning about four hearts knit together by love, four hearts that were caused to join together by love. You said there's only three people in that text. No, there's fourth. That fourth one is the one that makes the difference. Because if it wasn't for him, Tam, I'm getting even. If it wasn't for him, I'm getting even with you for wronging me. I'm getting my 2 cents worth. That's the way we all would be. Roman prison. What's Jesus say? That if the Son of Man shall set you free, you're what? You're free indeed. He was free, Chris, to go wherever he wanted to go. This is Zacchaeus up in the tree all over again. He got saved, Brother Tam. I believe he got saved right there in the prison. But there's some things you need to do after you get saved. The Bible said that Zacchaeus, when he come down out of that tree, what did he do, brother? He said, I'm going to repay everybody I've wronged from, Brother Tam, fourfold. Does that what the scripture say? He said it was a tax collector taken wrongly from the people, and he climbed up in the tree to see Jesus. As soon as he got saved by God's grace, he said, I've got to pay these people back. Philemon got saved in that jail, there ain't no doubt in my mind. But instead of taking that grace and running away with it, he said, I got to go fix some things. He goes straight back down there. And I believe when you get your heart right with God, you'll go to a few places. You'll go to some people. You'll go to some places, and you'll do some things that you probably didn't ever think you would ever do. And it'll all be because your heart will be knit together with that other person. It might be me and Kenny Chris, but it's me, Kenny, Chris, and Jesus. And if Chris is saved and Kenny was saved and now I'm saved, I'm telling you what, there's a bond right there that won't quickly be broken.
Amen.
As we stand all over the house this morning, let me just ask you a question. Are you still running? Let me be your Paul this morning. Let me be your Paul this morning and tell you about this man by the name of Jesus. I hope that I've done that so far. But let me tell you about this man. You've wronged him. I've wronged him. But he's willing to forgive. The Bible said that not only is he willing, the Bible said he's just. What else, Brother Chris? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brother Scott, what song did you get us? Amazing Grace. You don't even need your book for that, and we all know it. The Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's four people in that story. Paul, Philemon. You say, well, Philemon, are we pointing him toward God? You could look at that and say that God owned it all. And you took what was his and you robbed him and run out. You say, well, where's Jesus? He's the one that's going to redeem you back to God. He's going to bring the one that brings you home safely. I ask you this morning, if you need anything to come, come. If everybody's good, then we're going to leave here in just a few minutes. You can leave saved. You can leave unsaved. You can leave knowing with full surety and certainty that you're going to heaven. Or you can leave in doubt and wonder. How about it today? Go ahead, brother. Amen, Brother Steve.
Scared to leave here when God's dealing with me because it might be for somebody back there in the back. I just want to thank him for saving me. And it don't say this in the Bible, but whenever we're at the great white throne judgment, if there's somebody here lost and God tells me to testify and I don't, and it could have been for that person, just for myself, I'm just so afraid that they're going to know and I'm going to know at that moment that was for that person that I should have.